This is the anthem. Here's what you came for.
Welcome to the Disney Beat, a podcast brought to you by thedizinsider.com. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I will be covering all of the Disney headlines to keep you informed as you start your week. Hello there, this is Sean Nyberg, and this podcast is being recorded on the evening of Sunday, December 13th, 2020. All right, let's dive into the news. You guys, I have not personally had a drink of alcohol in 7 years, and I am extremely hungover from the Disney Investor Day last Thursday. So if you guys follow the podcast, I followed up last Thursday's Disney Investor Day, which ended up being a 4-hour presentation. I ended it with by doing a recap, but fortunately, depending on how you look at it, a recap of a 4-hour event is still pretty long, and it ended up being a 90-minute podcast from news we got on Thursday. So this is typically like my weekly podcast that kind of captures all the news from the week. But almost all the news we got was Thursday, and I already recapped that Thursday night. Well, I guess technically it was Friday morning because I wrapped it all up around 2 a.m. And it was a long Disney day, but it was a lot of fun. And I just going to hit a couple highlights here, because if you want all the details, just go back to the last podcast that came out on Friday, December 11th. So just hit the highlights. Disney, so they had their Investor Day. It's their annual event. It was supposed to be early in the year. Of course, like everything, got postponed, yada, yada, yada. They did it Thursday at 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern. And so the big thing they announced was Disney Plus, Hulu, and ESPN Plus. The subscriber count, paid subscriber count, which is important, they don't add up the like the free trial stuff. So paid subscriber count, it was through the roof, way higher than people expected, which investors loved. They announced 10 new Star Wars projects that are coming up. Technically Lucasfilm, not Star Wars, because some of the stuff like Willow and Indiana Jones are Lucasfilm projects, but they're not Star Wars. They had 10 new Marvel projects, and they had dozens and dozens of new projects that kind of fall into the Disney general entertainment category. This includes Disney Pixar, Disney Animation, Disney Live Action, the motion pictures, all that stuff. So they had just announcement after announcement after announcement. Again, if you want details, go back. It was an amazing day, and I just, not to toot my own horn, but it really kicked up the listenership here at the Disney Beat Podcast. So I want to welcome everyone who's new. A lot of people started listening, and I can track how many people are listening, and it really spiked after the event. It was really cool because a lot of people were following my play-by-play analysis during the whole thing on Twitter, at Sean Nyberg. And so, I just want to welcome everyone, and I write for the Diz Insider, the website, thedizinsider.com. And so, just the numbers we saw during and after this event was just, it was amazing. It was really, really fun to have all these new people, all these new eyes on the website, all these new ears on the podcast. And we just want to welcome you guys. And, we do a stellar job at the Diz Insider and here at the Disney Beat. Everything that we do is just, if we dabble in rumors, we are very clear that they're rumors. We don't do, we're not into the clickbait stuff. We're not in there saying, Disney is going to ... and you have to click, right? Or Star Wars is shutting down forever. And then you click on it and it's like, says one insider, we don't do that. We do some real good, stuff, and we try to keep everything above the board, and we're straight up with you guys. So, anyways, it was a really exciting Thursday. The problem with that, though, is it kind of shrinks the amount of news that I have for the weekly Disney Beat podcast, because we covered almost everything Thursday evening. But I still want to talk. There's some stuff I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about the parks, too, and all that. So first, I just want to wish anyone who's celebrating Hanukkah a happy Hanukkah. We're in the middle of Hanukkah right now. And hope everyone else who, celebrates Christmas or Kwanzaa or any other, just winter solstice or any other holidays celebration, I hope you're having a happy holidays right now and you're not getting too stressed out. And for those who can't be home for the holidays this year, that, you know, you find something that makes you happy and you know, makes you feel loved right now, because it's a tough time for all of us. Yeah, so, you know, Disney had a lot of really big announcements. They didn't talk at all really about the parks and some of the other areas, like, you know, products and their retail stores. They kept it focused on stuff that they're growing, which is their streaming stuff. So I do want to talk over at the website, thedisinsider.com. I did a little, I ran through kind of all the parks that Disney owns around the world and did a little update, like right now, what's the status? Because at one point earlier in 2020, they all were closed, right? And so we, and then they all, well, all but one reopened at some point, right? And then some of them reclosed. And some of them reclosed, reopened, and reclosed. So let's just quickly pop around the country, or the world, sorry, and talk about where right now on December 13th, which was the same when I wrote this last week, the status of all the Disney parks. So we'll start here in the United States, and we'll go start in Anaheim, California, with Disneyland. Right now, Disneyland is closed. Disney California Adventure is closed. So the two main theme parks are closed. The shopping, dining, and shopping area downtown Disney, that is open. I say that with a little trepidation because it's open, but it's actually scaled back a bit to where it was just a few weeks ago because California has increased its lockdown measures, right? So you no longer can eat in downtown Disney, and you know it's a lot stricter. So so technically it's open. So that's where we are at the Disneyland Resort. Hotels are closed. The parks are closed. The downtown Disney area is open, but with restrictions. Okay. So move over to Orlando, Disney World Resort. The Disney World Resort is open, but with restrictions. So the Disney World Resort has four theme parks, you know, Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Disney Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. Those four parks are open, but they are it's funny because when you think about them, they're more open than they were in the summer. So you think, oh, they're pretty, but they're still very restricted. If you could think about what they, you know, what they are normally, right? Hours are strict, are shorter. The attendance is capped. They say 35%. We don't know exactly what, but it's capped, right? So some of the parks you can't get into, like especially the Disney Hollywood Studios, you can't get into sometimes because it's, you know, it's, you have to reserve your park. Right now they don't have a park hopper available, which they will start in January, but right now they don't. Some of the hotels aren't open. A lot of them are, but some of them aren't. The water parks are closed. And just even within the parks, right? There's no parades. There's no big fireworks shows. The meet and greets are all but basically canceled. They've made some arrangements. You have the social distancing, you have the mask requirement, you have a lot of restaurants that are still shut down. They do have a lot of, many of the restaurants are open, but there are still some that are shut down. So, you know, it's technically open, but it's not as open as it would have been a year ago, right? So that's where we are. So Disney World is opened with restrictions. Okay. Now we hop over to Disneyland Paris. The Disneyland Paris Resorts, two parks there, you know, Disneyland Paris, the Disneyland Park, and then the Walt Disney Studios, which is, you know, it's like, it's their second gate. And both those parks are closed. And so are the hotels and the eating, you know, and the shopping area. France is in a really, really strict lockdown. They did a nationwide lockdown. I don't know, that was end of October-ish. So they're still in the middle of that. So everything in Paris is locked down. We're going to hop over to the Asia parks. So we'll start in China. So we have Hong Kong Disneyland, and that is that closed for the third time. So the parks are closed in Hong Kong. Over in Shanghai Disneyland, however, they're open. So Shanghai Disneyland, that's the most recent of the parks that opened in 2016. That park is open with restrictions. Now we just pop over to Japan, and we have Tokyo Disneyland and Tokyo Disney Sea, and both those are open with restrictions. So out of the six resorts, Anaheim, Orlando, Paris, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Tokyo. Three, Shanghai, Tokyo, and Orlando are open with restrictions. And three, Anaheim, Paris, and Hong Kong are closed. The Disneyland Resort in Anaheim is the only park that hasn't been opened at all this entire time. You know, there was a moment this summer where they were going to reopen it right around the time that Disney World was reopening, but you know, they pulled it back because they couldn't get the proper requirements from the state, and so they've just stayed closed. So that's where all the parks stand right now. Okay. You know, and then again, they didn't talk really at all, actually. I believe the only thing that was mentioned about the parks at the Investor Day was, I believe it was Bob Chapek, the CEO, had mentioned something when he talked about Marvel. Marvel's going to be making their presentation later. And I believe he mentioned Avengers Campus, which is coming to Disney California Adventure. It's basically done. It should have been, you know, it would have been open by now had there been no COVID. But it's not open, obviously. So, you know, once Disneyland reopens sometime in 2021, it'll be, you know, fairly soon after everything opens up, they're going to open up Avengers Campus. So that was the only mention the parks got. And I understand that, right? Because the Investor Day, you know, when you think about investing, what does investing mean? You know, you give money or you invest money into something that's going to grow. So what you want to know is what the company is looking, how they're going to go forward and what changes they're going to make. And that is to entice investments, right? Well, sitting there saying, well, first of all, you're not going to sit there and say all these parks are closed or limited. But even if they were running right now, they're not. Even if they're running and they're making a ton of money, which they normally do, they're not doing anything really. They're not making any huge changes in the parks. I'm talking huge. Now, parks fans would say, excuse me, Sean, they're doing this and this and this, and they're going to get rid of this show and they're adding this light show, and they're going to do this water feature. Sure, stuff like that. But they're not completely changing the way that their park systems run, right? So they're not going to talk about them, right? Because you want to talk about new things or new revenue streams. So another thing about the parks I wanted to mention too. Well, there's two other things about the parks. The first one was I was reading it leading up to the Investor Day. I was reading a bunch of investor reports. So these are like Wells Fargo and some of the really big banks that invest their money, right? And or they, you know, they have a lot of high-end clients and stuff. So that what they do is they research the company, and they research it, and then they do, you know, their forecast analysis, saying, you know, this company is gonna do something great, or this company is kind of out of ideas, so maybe pull our money out of it. And one of the reports actually really mentioned the parks, which was really interesting. What they were saying was, first of all the reports are saying that, you know, the Disney parks are the engine of the Disney company, right? When everything is working, you know, when there's no COVID, the Disney parks are what really just bring in the money. And I talked about this last one, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but they really are just the engine, the flywheel, they call it, just what really just brings in the money, right? That keeps the bills going. So they know that, right? And everyone knows that, and everyone loves it. And that's one thing that makes Disney, in terms of investment, a really one that people really like, because they know that it's not just going to collapse on itself, right? Because these parks are just, you know, the fan base and the desire. And then as people get older and they have kids and they bring their kids, you know, it's just constantly creating new fan base, right? So that wasn't really ever talked too much about in terms of the parks, because again, like I said, they're like the old faithful, right? But one thing that they did, one of the reports, the analyst, I believe it was for Wells Fargo, he made a really interesting point. He said they expect that in fiscal year 2022 and 2023, that the Disney theme parks are going to have record high revenue. And the reason for that is based on their research and talking to, you know, customers or you know, just doing their research in terms of customers, that there's a high demand for these parks. Even during COVID. Now, people may not today on, you know, December 13th, they may not be wanting to go to the parks today, but once they feel safe in terms of a vaccine for themselves, or once we start getting some immunity in the community, oh, that rhymes, that they really want to go back. And so they're expecting these parks to just come back like quickly, right? There's not going to be a lag like there kind of was after 9/11, right? Or even the 2008 financial crisis. There was a lag because, well, in 9/11, there was just this fear of travel and fear of being in large spaces, like, you know, with large groups because of potentially being a threat, right, for terrorist activity. And 2008, the reason there was a lag is because, unfortunately, a huge amount of people lost their jobs or lost their house, right? So they had no money. They had no extra money to go to the parks. Now, that is happening somewhat right now, but this is, you know, but the what's going on right now with the economy is really driven by COVID-19. So the hope or the theory is that once we can get back, you can get on the other side of this, maybe halfway through 2021, is that people will get back to spending and acting like they used to, right? That's the hope. Who knows what's going to happen? So the reason they think 2020 to 2023 is going to have record high revenue is Disney has done a ton of cost cutting around the parks, not just having them closed, but if you're a parks fan and you follow it closely, you'll know that there were a lot of really exciting projects coming up, big rides and big new shows that they were putting together. And they're being, some of them are fully canceled. Just straight up canceled, right? Some of them are being cut back, trimmed a little bit. And then a few of them that were really, you know, that were pretty far into it, they're being finished up. But so Disney has cut a bunch of their expected costs for the parks. And they've also come up with new ways to save money because they've had to recently because like with Walt Disney World being open, but being on a limited, you know, when they have to cap capacity and stuff, they've had to come up with creative ways to save money. So now we've got the park sitting here. They have come up with new ways to cut costs. They have actually cut projects that they had planned for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And so they have that going on. Now add on to that, investors thinking that the demand is going to come back very quickly, you know, possibly 2022, 2023, it's going to be up at or above what it was before COVID. So you're going to get this huge influx of new money coming in, and your costs are going to be cut because you had to for COVID. And so they're going to get these record high revenues, right? Because, you know, you have the income, then you deduct the costs for operating the park, and now you have your revenue. So my concern, and that's all they said. They just said, this is what we expect. 2022 and 2023 are going to be, they're going to likely bring record high revenue for the parks division, right? But my concern is that they're really going to like that, right? Especially because Disney Plus is not bringing in a profit yet. They're not going to probably start seeing a profit till 2024. Give or take, right? 2020, maybe late 2023, maybe 2025. But they're not going to start seeing a profit yet because they have to put so much money into creating all these shows that there's a lot of cost involved. So right now, even with high subscriber base, Disney's not making much money. Not making any money on Disney Plus yet. So they're really going to like this record high revenue. And they're not going to really be, this is all speculation, right? But it's very reasonable speculation that they're not going to be eager to really amp up spending on the parks if they're getting their attendance numbers up without having to do that, right? And so I think, that, you know, as someone who just loves the theme parks, that's a big concern I have is that, you know, they were really rocking, right? They had Galaxy's Edge starting, then they got Rise of the Resistance, which is the big ride. Galaxy's Edge was opened up last December and last January in Orlando and in Anaheim. And then they had Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway open up in Disney Hollywood Studios in, I believe, March. It was like March 4th or something of this last year. And they had a new parade, the new parade in Disneyland, which magic happens. I think it only ran for like 2 weeks before they had to close it down. And they had all these big projects coming up, like huge overhaul in Epcot. They have now two new rides that, I mean, they finished Ratatouille and they have a Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which is a huge roller coaster with a pivoting. We talked about on this show. That's still planned, right? And that's gonna happen, right? But they had all these other stuff. They had a Mary Poppins. We weren't quite sure if it was an attraction or if it was like a show or like a walkthrough type thing. But they had plans for that in Epcot. They had, they have Moana. They have a water show, an interactive water thing coming to Epcot, which is still allegedly planned. And a bunch of other stuff. Like, it's really hard. Like, I mean, I could just sit here and name all these things, but if you're not looking at like the concept art and stuff, it doesn't really mean much. But just know that they had huge, huge expansion plans that a lot of them are still on, right? Like, they're going to have a Galaxy's Edge opening up out at Paris, the Paris Resort. They have Avengers Campus coming to some of the Asian parks. They have a new Fantasyland. They just opened in Tokyo Disneyland. They just opened a Beauty and the Beast ride, which is absolutely incredible. But you know, I have a feeling that the stuff that they've cut may not find its way back. And I think the reason is because attendance is going to come back quick and they're going to see no need to do it. It's almost as if the attendance took a while to come back, that they may actually amp up spending because they realize we need something new to get people in to trust us again. Right? So, anyway, that's just kind of where my brain goes, right? Like, I thought this was going to be a pretty short podcast because there's not, because I covered so much stuff on Thursday. But, you know, this is kind of where my brain goes. And this is where people who follow the parks and stuff are really watching because, you know, we love these kind of things. Like, right now in Disneyland, I know a lot of you guys might know this, but if you don't, just past Toontown, well, it's good. The entrance, so there's a new big ride, Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. They're building it in Disneyland back in Toontown. The entrance will be in Toontown and it's being built kind of back. They took down the hills, if you guys have been there and you kind of remember the hills that faded over the years in the sun. They took those down and they're building a huge new ride. Now that's still happening, but they pushed it back a year. It's going to be done in 2023. But yeah, just something to think about. And we'll keep an eye on it, right? And I think once this next year, we're going to start seeing if they start churning out new projects. So we're keeping an eye on that. Speaking of new projects, down in Epcot in the Walt Disney World Resort, they the first of three barges was, presented or pulled out to the middle of World Showcase Lagoon. It's going to be part of the nighttime show that we've talked about on here, Harmonious, which is the new nighttime show that's coming to Epcot. Again, one of these huge projects that's been in the plans for years, been in the works, sorry, for years. And it, again, would have been running already. So there's going to be three barges that are permanently in World Showcase Lagoon. And one of the three got pulled out and they are huge, right? And you'd think that Disney park fans who love, you know, the razzle dazzle would be stoked, right? Huge, huge. We love it. Give me big water and big fireworks and big. But the problem is that they're going to stay out there during the day and everyone is really worried that they're going to be an eyesore. Like, you won't be able to see across the lagoon because they're going to have these big hunks of metal sitting there. So Disney kind of assuaged some of the fears like a month or so ago when they released concept art that showed that during the day, these barges are going to be giving some sort of like water show, like just kind of a constantly running fountain. We don't know if it's going to be steady or if the water is going to change, kind of like the Bellagio type thing or World of Color. But we got the first one and man, it's big. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not an Epcot purist like a lot of people are. And I think they have legitimate points and I totally see where they're coming from. You know, I don't mind having this kind of stuff, big changes or intellectual property and Disney movies being brought into Epcot. I will say even for me, I was a little surprised at how big this actual barge was. We saw it being constructed, but just seeing it out there was like, whoa. And that's one of three. The other two I'm sure will be coming out in the next week or so. So yeah, that kind of caught some people off guard. We haven't seen what it's going to do during the day yet. So I'm going to reserve judgment until we know that. So that was some stuff going on at the parks. I want to talk a little bit about, one of the big key characters on Thursday was Christine McCarthy, who is the Walt Disney Company's chief financial officer, the CFO. We just got word this last week that her contract got extended through 2022, which is not a surprise to anyone. The markets absolutely loved Thursday afternoon's presentation. So that they presented after the markets closed at 1:30. They closed at 1 Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern, and they presented it 30 minutes later. And the next morning, the markets were through, I believe it gained, I mean, at some point it was over $20 a share. I don't have it in front of me right now. I wish I did. I know it closed in the 170s. That is insane, you guys. Like, if you guys follow it, you know that it's insane. But if you don't follow it, just know, like, this is higher than ever before for the Walt Disney Company by a lot. And they're really being treated like a new start, not a new startup, because, you know, there's fear with new startups, that, but they're really being treated kind of like a new hot company again, which is really rare for something as old as Disney, right? So it's really kind of cool to see. And you know, and even after Friday, if you read CNBC and you follow the financial market news, you know, people are saying, like, some of the analysts and some of the, you know, the hosts who follow this stuff are saying, you know, don't sell it yet. Like, this isn't a one-day spike. But, you know, obviously no one's coming here for financial advice. I'm not saying what to do. Do what you want. Who knows? But what I'm saying is, though, it just kind of seems like this isn't going to be a one-day thing. And, you know, while I'm sure it's going to cool off a little bit this week, I think this might be the new area we're playing in, 170-ish a share. Again, do not take any advice from me. None of this is supposed to be financial. You know, I graduated law school. I'm just trying to cover a little CYA right now, right? Don't take it. I'm just saying, you know, what I'm reading in a lot of the newspapers and stuff regarding the stock. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, she got her contract extended for good reason, I believe. You know, a lot of people have a lot of questions about the layoffs, and that's a legitimate discussion that I think should be had. But right now, we'll see what happens this year. We'll see what happens when the parks start opening back up and see, you know, if these jobs become available. No, when the need is there, if they're going to rehire these cast members back. You know, I know these cast member people who work for the Disney parks or just anywhere in Disney. It's not just a job. It's not just a paycheck. It's not just, you know, just something. It's a way of life. It's a dream, and people also, while they're working there, you know, it's just magic, right? It's something they've always wanted, and it becomes a part of you. So I'm not minimizing, and I would never minimize, like, I don't minimize that. And I really think it's something important. At the same time, a lot of these jobs just aren't happening right now, right? Like, there's Disneyland's not open. And so there's just no need to have someone take tickets because there's no tickets to take. But the question will be, once they start opening again, if Disney is bringing back the people that are still looking for a job who used to work there, and also if they pay them the same or even more, you know, and they don't just go pick other people and pay them less, that'll be really interesting, and that'll be something that even I, I'll call them out for. So that's something we're watching. But anyway, Christine McCarthy, contract extended, CFO, she's doing a great job in terms of finances. All the other stuff, human resources, we can debate that. But listen, if you're running a company, you'd want her or someone just like her taking care of the books. So, another little bit of interesting news too, that, I've been following a lot, that, was kind of tied in a little bit to Thursday's news, was, so we, a week prior. So now we're like, what are we, like 10 days ago, the Warner Brothers, which is owned by, well, Warner Brothers Pictures is owned essentially by AT&T. AT&T is the big governing daddy company, right? It's the parent company. And they announced that their whole 2021 film lineup was going to go, it was going to be released at the same time as their streaming on HBO Max. So they were going to release the film in the theaters at the same time they're going to release it on HBO Max to stream, which, you know, essentially means they're going to stream it, right? Some people are going to go to the theaters, but they're basically just killing the box office for Warner Brothers. So everyone is watching to see what Disney's going to do. And so that's kind of why it's tied in to the Investor Day, because Disney did announce that they're going to release a lot of a majority of their lineup that they expected to release in 2021. They still plan to release in theaters. Some of the early ones, they're going to do streaming at the same time, because they know with COVID-19 that some people may not be comfortable. And in a lot of places, some people just can't because the theaters aren't open. But they do plan starting, I know March they're going to release but I think really May is when they have some of the bigger films that they plan on putting in theaters. So the reason I bring that up is because Christopher Nolan, the director, you would know him. I first saw him in Memento. That was one of my favorites. And I loved him, right? But he's been releasing films under Warner Brothers. And his last big film was under Warner Brothers. It was Tenet. And it came out earlier, like late in summer, right? And it was one of those, it was right in the summer of COVID, and it didn't do great in the U.S. box office. It was a big, big film. And he's known for The Dark Knight. He's known for Inception. He's known for these really big blockbuster movies. So when it came out, no one really had high expectations because it was, in the summer of COVID. It did great in the international markets. And so, it made good money, right? If the numbers that it had transpired not during the pandemic, it would have been considered a flop, right? But considering everything, it was fine. And it made its money back, I believe, if you look at the international box office. Well, he has been on a tirade the last week or two based off of Warner Brothers' decision to what they're going to do with their films coming up next year. And his biggest freak out, for lack of a better term, is that they never, Warner Brothers didn't run this by the creative people. Like, these people who directed and wrote these films, let's pick one for example. Into the Heights. It's a musical. It's based off of the Broadway show Into the Heights, written by Lin-Manuel Miranda. It was a huge Broadway hit. They filmed it, a film version of it that was going to go be released in theaters. And then they just announced it as one of the, I wish I had the number, dozen or, one and a half dozen films. And they didn't give anyone a heads up. They didn't tell the directors, didn't tell the actors, didn't tell, the screenwriters, these people who a lot of their paychecks are tied to the box office numbers. They get 1% of the box. They didn't run by. And so they woke up and found this all out the same day we all did. And, Christopher Nolan was just going off on Warner Brothers and how they're doing it just to save HBO Max, which is, don't worry, I am tying this back to Disney. I know I'm kind of going off on one of Disney's competitors, but there's a reason for it. So, he's just been going off, and it really had nothing to do with Tenet, because Tenet happened and it obviously wasn't involved in this. So, his biggest thing is Warner Brothers, and especially AT&T, doesn't care about the creatives because they didn't run anything by them, right? Or give them the courtesy of a heads up. So, there's always kind of been this thing that Christopher Nolan's been bringing these huge movies to Warner Brothers, and now he's actively on these interviews just ripping apart Warner Brothers and AT&T. Mind you, AT&T also owns HBO Max, right? And HBO Max had a really poor rollout this summer and since then. And I know some of you probably have it and you're like, well, wait, no, it's fine. It's a little expensive, but it's fine. Yeah, but it really hasn't been doing great. It's not like a Disney Plus or like a Netflix or Hulu. It's kind of struggling. To be honest, it's really struggling. And so, he's really saying this is just AT&T's Hail Mary to save their fledgling HBO Max. So, he's out there bad-mouthing Warner Brothers and AT&T, so there's all this talk is one of these other studios, i.e. Disney, going to go try and scoop him up? Because he's been releasing these films under Warner Brothers, and he's a box office, giant, right? So, there's been that talk for a while. So he released one of his big movies was 2002's Insomnia, and it really brought, huge attention to him. And at the time, one of the executives at Warner Brothers was a man named Alan Horn. And he was there when Christopher Nolan had, these big early hits, and they had a good relationship then. Well, Alan Horn is currently the chairman of Walt Disney Studios. And so there's a lot of kind of rumors and talking going around that, they had a previous relationship. Christopher Nolan is clearly burning his bridges to the ground when it comes to Warner Brothers and AT&T. you know, is this the time for Disney to swoop in and try to poach him? Because he's an amazing filmmaker, right? And, you know, Disney has some of the best around. If they had him, there really wouldn't be much, you know, there wouldn't be any big name directors. So it's just something we're kind of watching, and it's kind of cool to see. And another thing about Alan Horn, I don't know exactly where in his 70s, but he's in his 70s. So, you know, he's likely not going to be around a lot longer in terms of, you know, being the chairman of Walt Disney Studios or Walt Disney. So, yeah, we're just going to keep an eye on this. It would be really interesting to see if Disney could dive in and grab him. He's got a huge fan base. And beyond that, you know, his movies make a lot of money and they're critical hits. So everyone's just kind of keeping an eye on that. If you like action films and stuff, you know, you know, Christopher Nolan, and he could release something. You know how Beyonce just drops an album with no lead up to it, and people just buy it because they know it's Beyonce and it's going to be amazing. He's kind of like that, right? He could just drop a movie with no trailer and people would flood the theater. So it would be a huge get if Disney could get him. So that's kind of some of the rumor stuff. And so that's really what we have right now. I want to end on this final note regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. So I'm recording this Sunday the 13th. The vaccine, you know, if you watch the news today, like the first shipments are being sent out, you know, in trucks, and they're going out to the states to be distributed. It's going to be a really interesting situation, you know. If we get widespread participation in the vaccine and we start seeing the numbers, you know, increase, decrease or people, you know, increase in terms of people who take it, decrease in terms of the number of illnesses and deaths, we're going to start really seeing things turn around for the Disney company. Disney company is currently, you know, kind of in a tough bind, but their future outlook is very, very strong. That's why the stock's through the roof, right? So we're just going to, you know, a lot of this company, not just this company, but all the companies in the world, and a lot of families and stuff, you know, they really rely on the fact that this vaccine is going to get out there and people are going to participate and take it. And, you know, all I know is I'm going to take it, and all those in my family are going to take it. And hopefully we can get on the other side of this so that we don't have to spend every week when we do these podcasts talking about closed parks or capacity limitations or how the pandemic is affecting the box office and stuff like that. So, and you know, more importantly, I know that sounds really trivial. You know, how many people are dying, you know, how many thousands are dying and how many thousands are sick and how many thousands are have, you know, permanent lung damage. You know, they may not die, but they have permanent lung damage. How many small businesses are being shut down? You know, how many kids are falling behind on their education? How many people are going without food tonight because they don't have any income? So, you know, obviously this is a Disney podcast. So we talk about Disney, but you know, the ramifications are, you know, the ramifications of Disney when it comes to the COVID-19 is like a, you know, it's like a grain of sand in a whole ocean in terms of how many people are affected. But yeah, anyway, it's the first, like you said last night on Saturday Night Live, right? It's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but the problem with the light at the end of the tunnel is it shows how disgusting and gross the tunnel is. So I just hope we can get through it and get on the other side, and that we all can be healthy and safe, and we can all travel and feel comfortable with each other and get back to hugging and getting back to getting crammed into lines at Disneyland and Disney World and all over the world. So I love you guys. Thank you so much. On behalf of myself and those here at the Disney Beat Podcast, along with the Disinsider, we wish everyone good health and prosperity. With that, I want to say thank you for listening. If you like the show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. These ratings really help the show find new listeners. I also ask that you share this podcast with friends and family who love Disney. All stories can be found at thedisinsider.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the handle thedisinsider, or on Facebook by searching The Diz Insider. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sean Nyberg, all one word, SEANNYBERG, at Sean Nyberg. I also co-host the Disney podcast Walt's Apartment that comes out every Thursday, and the Disney Parks theme podcast Extra Magic Hour, which is released every other week. So check those out. Thank you again for listening, and I will see you here again next week for another edition of the Disney Beat Podcast. My name is Sean Nyberg. Have a fantastic week.